Welcome to the Insights on Internships from Professor Jones podcast, or IOI for short. If you're a student studying hospitality and tourism management, and you have an internship or work experience requirement, this podcast is for you. That also includes those of you in event management, or MICE emphasis, as it's called in certain parts of the world. It's my objective to pass along the knowledge I've gained in nearly 50 years in the hospitality field. As an industry professional, I hired and managed interns. As a faculty member, I supervised students in their internships and oversaw internship courses. As an academic administrator, I developed curriculum that incorporated internships and work experience. Most recently, I've been working part-time at the front desk of a local hotel, the Seacrest Oceanfront Hotel in Pismo Beach, California. So I've experienced every aspect of the process. Each episode will typically be less than 15 minutes long. The topics will cover the entire range from determining the type of internship you want, through the actual internship experience, and finally the reflection afterwards on what you've learned and how to connect it to your future career ambitions. The topic of this IOI episode is language and cultural differences. Now, this is the second in the current series of practical experience from my guest services role. And the agenda for this episode is first to give you a little background on this particular topic, my background, that is. And then we'll look at things from a guest perspective, both from the international guest in the USA context and the international guest in an Asian context. Then we'll look at issues with regards to colleagues, and particularly languages spoken by the majority of the staff that may be different from yours. And finally, we'll talk about some solutions to make it easier to deal with these language and cultural differences. So my background on the topic is that I'm going to be drawing from really my unique experience of both North America and Asia in both the hotel industry and in my academic career. And altogether, I've spent 10 years of my career in Asia, split between Hong Kong and Singapore, back and forth three different times. So today, I can also mix in my current experience with international guests at the Seacrest Oceanfront Hotel in Pismo Beach, as well as adding a perspective of my working with colleagues whose first language is not English. So let's look first at the international guest in the USA context. So let me start with some observations of international guests to the USA from my American perspective. So most are going to be able to speak English, but they may not be as fluent in speaking it depending on the region of the world that they may come from. This means, number one, you have to be conscious of slowing down your speech. Always a challenge for me. You also have to be patient with response to your questions and assure that they understand the meaning of what you communicate. You know, it's very common for people to say yes, meaning I heard you, not necessarily that I agree with you. So you might have to repeat back various things to confirm that they actually understood what you meant in the context of your answer. Currency exchange rates. Now, this is an interesting dynamic in that other parts of the world are much more cognizant of the US dollar conversion to whatever currency they may have, as opposed to us in America. And I give you an example from many years ago. I remember standing in line at a McDonald's in Hong Kong. And in front of me were a couple of Navy sailors who happened to be in town, U.S. Navy, that is. And they gave her a $20 U.S. dollar bill. The girl at the cashier didn't flinch. She immediately was able to give them back the change in Hong Kong dollars that represented what the difference was between what they bought. Now, you take that into the North American context, and we typically have no idea what the difference is in different currencies. But we do have some help today. There are apps, which I'll touch on later in the episode, and A lot of PMS systems today will convert it for you. In some cases, this is definitely true overseas, you can actually pay with a credit card in your own country's currency, whatever the bill may be. Yet another area of difference has to do with electric outlets and voltage. We have a difference of 110 versus 220 voltage between the US and most other countries of the world. And although most devices today can work on both voltages, such as your mobile phone, the real difference is that there's different plugs going into the socket. Now, I know that my hotel doesn't offer an adapter for that, and that's an important element that oftentimes is there in other countries. And now, when we talk about international guests from a communication standpoint, some key differences in terminology that you need to take note of. One of them that I've become very cognizant of is in the US we say your last name, but that may not be how they define it. Some synonyms to that, which I'm familiar with in my experience in Asia, is you may say someone's surname. So Jones is my last name, but it's also that's my surname. Or they may refer to it as your family name, which is quite common in the Asian cultures. Another area of communication here is you need to understand a little bit about metrics versus our system in the US. The use of kilometers versus miles, meters instead of feet. I have to admit, it's not the easiest thing for me. Even after all these years, I need to use an app to be able to convert that. Another area of difference is regarding temperature. Most of the world uses Celsius versus Fahrenheit that we use in the US. But that's a simple calculation. You simply double the Celsius temperature and add 30 to it, and you should be pretty close to the actual amount of Fahrenheit. Another difference in communication has to do with what we use to send text messages. My experience, most of the rest of the world uses WhatsApp versus SMS. And the reason they do that is it avoids any roaming charges across different countries. We don't have roaming charges within the US and again across the Canadian border in most cases with our cell phone providers, but in other parts of the world that isn't true, so that's used quite commonly. And you also have the ability to call someone over WhatsApp. And then in China, they use Weixin, or what we refer to in English as WeChat. Now, looking at international guests from an Asian context, now there's two perspectives to this. One, you could take the American working in Asia and learning to adjust to what's different there, which may be the case for some who might be doing internships. And the other is serving American guests. Now, the focus in this episode is going to be on the first of those two, the American working in Asia. Serving the American guests is a whole other issue that I won't get into in this limited time we have in this episode. So, an important element to understand when you're dealing in Asia is that the Brits have had a great influence on the English that is spoken there. So, you have a number of different terms that you need to learn that are different. Most commonly, things like calling it a lift instead of an elevator, a mobile phone versus a cell phone, a bin versus a trash can, a lorry versus a truck, or maybe a biscuit versus a cookie. Now, in this context, that's going to be helpful to me here, even in the US context, when I have British guests, because we have cookies every afternoon. So, I better make sure that I remember to call them biscuits. Another difference here is passport usage. IDs are done through passports when you're traveling internationally. But the difference here is you understand that the passport doesn't necessarily show the residence. This was particularly true from a marketing standpoint. We didn't understand this in Asia because the person could have a British passport and not be living in the UK, but living in Hong Kong, for instance, or living in Singapore, and same with Americans and so on. Another important thing to know is that English is the common communication language between guests or people, for that matter, who don't speak each other's language. So, for example, a Vietnamese speaking to a Chinese, a Korean speaking to a Japanese. In many cases, they don't understand each other's language, but both may have some commonality within English. And a fact that I've always been cognizant of, a friend of mine introduced me to a number of years ago to understand in the rest of the world, is that Chinese is spoken by more people in the world than any other language. But more than 100 countries, English is an official first language. And I can attest to that being true in Singapore, for example. Now let's talk a little bit about colleagues. Difference in the languages between departments. I used to give a case study in my human resource course that I taught, where the front of the house in a restaurant was English speaking and the back of the house spoke Spanish. And I would ask the students for solutions to that. Now, Spanish speaking staff learning to speak hospitality English was often the most typical recommendation. And there are books, there are virtual training programs, and so on that do teach that basic aspect. But I want to flip that a little bit differently and say, my case where I work today is the majority of the staff speak another language at the hotel than me. They speak Spanish. So the issue here, and I think the issue even perhaps in the first scenario, was that it isn't that those who don't speak English, it's that I don't speak Spanish. They all speak a little English and they all speak fluent Spanish. So what I'm doing is I'm learning Spanish, and that may be the most reasonable solution. Now, how can you do this using today's kinds of technology? Well, translation apps are important. Google Translate is great, but there's the good and the bad. It will give you some basic understanding, but it's very literal, and a lot of times the terminology doesn't necessarily match between what we actually speak, what might be the official language, and understanding it. But the good part of it is you can dictate into your phone the actual phrase that you want to be able to ask, and it will then give you a translation spoken back to the guest in their language. If you are translating into simplified Chinese or Mandarin, one app that I'd recommend is Pleco, Pleco. Now, it will give you a number of different characters and words, so sometimes it's not as easy to know exactly which one to use in which context, but it will help. I had recently had a Chinese guest show me their phone, their reservation that they had made on their phone, which was made through Expedia, but everything was in Chinese characters. Now, I read a few Chinese characters, but not enough to know what that said. So I had to look carefully and find the English surname and then be able to look the reservation up from that, and I could then go from there. Now, in learning conversational language, which is an important one and something I do, is to keep up with my Mandarin Chinese, which I've done for years, I use Duolingo. And my experience with that is great. It can teach me both the characters as well as the context and the words and the sentences. And I'm also using it today for my Spanish. But another conversational app that is quite common is called Babbel, Babble. Some other technology that I alluded to earlier to help you out from the metric conversions, I use something called Unit Plus. That helps me a great deal. And for the currency exchange, there are many different sources for that, but the one that I use is called ONADA, or ONADA, which I find to be one I've used for many, many years, and it helps a great deal. So, in summary, differences is what makes hospitality and tourism excited. Those cultural differences, it can be very definitely the motivation for why we travel to other places in the first place. So keep in mind, again, that not understanding English may not be the only issue. There may be other factors in terms of translating even English to English. Oftentimes we talk about the UK and the US being two countries separated by a common language. So you need to go an extra mile in what you're doing in your preparation to educate yourself on the differences. It's part of that learning experience. And lastly, be inclusive in your thinking by learning to adapt to others.
Thanks for listening to this episode of my IOI podcast. If you heard something you liked, please share it with your fellow classmates. I'd also encourage you to forward it on to your faculty internship supervisor. Hey, you could even include your supervisor at your place of work. Enjoy your internship learning experience.